Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program. It's heard weekdays on 19 radio stations with 28 signals all across our great treasure state. Thank you for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe, and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook and on the web at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Please contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com. So you have a food truck, and you're making... You know, you're working every day, business is good, and then all of a sudden you find yourself at the World Food Championships. How does that happen? Well, it's maybe a little bit by accident, but more by design. And what do you learn when you go to the World Food Championships? Well, you learn that you're a pretty darn good cook, as a matter of fact. Today, from Laurel to the world stage, Montana's own chef, Miguel Hernandez, Mike Hernandez, and the La Taqueria. He just cooked his way into the top five finish at these championships. We're going to talk about that today. Next time Mike comes in, we'll get a full order going here.
We'll put in an order before he shows up.
That world championship. Yeah, I know. Yeah. Yes, that's what we got going on today. Thank you guys for being here. We are two decades strong and working on three. From Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana. Great story here from Laurel, Montana. A small Montana food truck. To a top five finish on the world stage. It's Mike Hernandez with us here. I can't even say your sandwich, by the way. This was in the sandwich category, so to speak. And good morning, by the way. Congratulations
good
on
morning.
All this.
Thank
Golly.
You. Thank you.
Golly. And this wasn't that long ago, so.
No, it was pretty much, was it last week?
Week before, I think.
Or the week before, like yeah. Everything's running like close together. The days, I'm trying to kind of catch up and get back to my normal routines.
So. Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah. Get off the world stage and back into your...
My reality.
Yeah. I appreciate you coming in here, too.
Thank you for having me.
And this is fun. La Taqueria, right?
Yep.
There's a story. There's a whole journey here to talk about. And by the way, you're a United States Marine, too. And thank you for that service.
Thank you.
And some of that, you know... Through all of this, you're finding a bit of a voice to offer some encouragement in that regard, too.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
So we'll talk about that. Tell me about this journey. Tell me, like, what your thoughts are right now, and then we'll go back from there.
It's just incredible. I've never pictured myself being or coming this far from when I first started that little food truck. And to be able to... offer the traditional foods that I grew up with here in Montana and this area, and then having the opportunity to showcase them on a world stage in Indianapolis was hard to believe. It was just I never imagined that, but I got out of my comfort zone and I took the plunge and said, you know, now or never. And I wanted to showcase the. You know, our traditional foods, heritage, and represent Montana. That was the biggest thing going out there, being the only Montana-based food truck in the sandwich category.
The sandwich category.
In the sandwich category. Because there was a Kenny from Copper Onion Bistro that's in the hamburger category.
Oh, yeah.
And he did win, I believe, last year, top five as well.
So
the competition is it's fierce. It's crazy because from what I saw and learned when I was there is the top three, the top five in each category sometimes don't make it the next year. They get beat, you know, they end up in the last, you know, towards the last. So it's huge. And they change the rules often. So you got to keep up with all that stuff. It's just, I would never imagine
being this far. And where was this at, by the way?
This was in Indianapolis, Indiana.
Yeah. And you went there with your daughter. And one thing is we're chatting about here, too, is what a wonderful bonding experience that would be for a family. You know?
Yeah, it was awesome. You know, she's had started
What's
helping
her name?
Me. Elizabeth.
Congratulations, Elizabeth.
So she started helping me on the food truck about a year and a half ago. And she's really good at the window. I'm really good at, you know, behind the scenes. That's the type of person that I usually am. So I like to cook. And all that, and she's taking care of everybody at the window, and so I had to take her because she's been there, she's helped mm-hmm. me, she can take over when I'm not, you know, 100% focused. So I was like, no brainer. She can, you know, she's learned all a lot from me. So
and she did that when because you know this is not you in Laurel, Montana, or in Joliet, Montana, or wherever. this world stage, right? And there's cameras and there's media.
Yes.
And they're going, Mike, Miguel, what are you using there? And what's all this? And then, talk about that experience, because one thing that you said earlier too was their kitchen was kind of like your food truck.
Right. Yeah. And that was the first thing I noticed. I was like, hey, that's an advantage, because a lot of these teams with their chefs, they probably have huge kitchens, executive kitchens. Yeah. They're like, oh, what am I doing in this fishbowl? So for me, I saw that. I was like, hey, this is just like the food truck. It's compact. It's small. Everything's within reach. So it worked out the whole time we were there. And even my daughter was like, yeah, this is going to be, we just got to keep our eye on the time. Mm. That was a huge thing, is you don't want to not make that time, because you're disqualified automatically. But she was there to step in every time, because, yes, there was a lot of media there, just asking questions, wanting to see what you want to do. They wanted to take pictures, so you had to stop sometimes. And if I was taking a little too long, she would just step in and take over my prepping or my, you know, cooking and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And so it was pretty seamless, and I think it worked out perfectly.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that. I mean, congratulations on that too, because when you work as a team, there's a certain amount of satisfaction, great amount of satisfaction that comes. It's mostly internally. You don't necessarily speak about it, but there's a lot of satisfaction in that.
Oh yeah, 100% satisfaction that we worked as one unit to accomplish that. Especially when you pass the first round and you, instead of an hour, you got an hour and a half. Instead of just the plating and the five samples, you got an additional five more samples. Instead of just using your own recipe, they throw in a couple more recipes, a sponsored recipe, and then a last minute mystery, ingredient.
Yeah.
Sorry. A last minute ingredient that you have no idea until they take the cover off. And it's like, oh man, okay. So, but yeah, working flawlessly was, I think, one of the key things that ended up with us being able to place in the top five.
Mike Hernandez, Miguel Hernandez, the owner of the La Taqueria food truck, but now a top five finish in a World Food Championship in the sandwich category.
Sandwich category.
Yeah, yeah. I haven't talked about sandwich yet. Nope. We'll get to that. But let's talk about how prepared you were for this. I mean, everybody's, I've kind of taken to some of these cooking shows a little bit, some of the competition cooking shows, you know, Ramsay or whatever. Yeah. It's they're fun. So how did you have a good handle on what was there, or was 50% of it going to be unknown no matter what?
I think I got a lot of advice from people that had been there before. Like I said, Kenny from Copper Onion, Steven from Stacked and Montana Grill. I believe he's won top five as well. So they gave me a ton of advice of what to do, what to take with you, what equipment they'll provide. So he said, if you want to do something that's completely different to what the stuff they have there, you're going to have to take your own equipment. So we ended up doing that. We ended up driving out there with their own equipment, just in case, because it would have been perfect to just fly out there. Mm-hmm. But then you end up with, you have to buy this, you have to buy that, you have to get this equipment, that equipment, because they don't have it there. So we ended up driving and taking what we thought we needed. And if we didn't need it, perfect. But if we did need it, we had it with us. So that worked out well too.
What was the competition like? High level, I'm sure.
Well, yeah. So you go into the website for the World Food Championship, and then you start looking at the resumes of all these teams. and they're accomplished chefs. I mean, they run like executive chefs, and they run huge casinos or, you know, stuff like that.
The Vegas money was on them, right?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. 100%. I would have bet on them too.
Yeah.
So, and they have their team that they do this actually quite a bit. So they go around the country and they compete in competitions like that. And apparently this is the biggest one on the biggest stage. So, but the competition was it was like going from minor league to major league. And just standing toe to toe with these guys, it was Awesome.
Were they friendly, just polite? Was it an opportunity to share recipes and grow as a chef? Or did it kind of in the end turn into, it's me against you, so I'm not going to go that way?
No, they're really, really friendly. They would help you out. There's a team that we met from Dubai. They were in the noodle category. Really friendly, outgoing. They supported us. We supported them, you know, cheering them on when they were in the kitchen arena. Mm. And they did the same for us. But don't ask them about what they're going to do. What are you going to serve? What are you going to do? Yeah, then it's a different story. And I don't blame them. But for the most part, they were really friendly. And yeah, you kind of socialize and network. And, you know, I can say that I know a few chefs now from across the country.
Yeah. So they're kind of protective of, what is it, their ingredients, their special recipe. What do they share with you? I mean, did they introduce you to a new ingredient? Or what do you take away as a chef from that?
From the whole competition?
From
the whole competition, I take away just new methods of doing food items, offering food items. Sometimes we just get stuck in the same thing, you know, just a griddle, a stove and all that. But there's different ways of doing one item, you know, just multiple ways. So, and adding ingredients that I never knew could just put an item above, you know, over the top, mm-hmm. As far as the taste and stuff like that. So, you know, just the recipes and the methods and new equipment that you get to see while you're there is something I took away from it. Now I'm like kind of looking into some of this stuff. Maybe I can start using it on our truck. Because there was a lot of reps from different companies there too that, you know, that demo their equipment or their recipes or ingredients. So there was a lot of stuff there to do.
So are you thinking about, like, and we'll get into this. What's the name of that sandwich?
It's just a Milanesa torta.
Milanesa torta.
Milanesa torta. So basically a chicken fried steak, Mexican style chicken fried steak.
All right. Don't get too much of it because we're going to tease that. We're going to salivate before we actually take a bite of that.
Okay.
What in terms of like new ingredients or menus or things like that, you come back from something like that, especially as you go in there as a Montanan with your jeans on and, you know, and then come back out with just new information to process. What's going to be new on the menu?
Well, for sure, it's going to be those sandwiches. That's I already got a ton of requests. I was like, where are you going to do this? So I'm probably going to set up tomorrow in Laurel's and do it for dinner with those sandwiches. But other than that, I think I'm going to start using more of, there was a seafood category and I saw a few chefs using different ingredients. And I think a couple of them actually had items presented as like shrimp tacos. So I was watching what they were serving, their sauces and all that stuff. And I was like, that looks really good. So of course I got in contact with them. So I'll have to get maybe that the competition's over, I can get a little bit more information on how to make those. So, but just ingredients and recipes that you can even get them off. I believe they have them on their website too. They'll post the recipes that some of these cooks or chefs use.
So. How often do you try new recipes for either yourself or it's probably everything now is through the lens of, you know,
competition
and the food truck.
Yeah. Honestly, I like, sometimes I'll just be watching the game on TV or something. And then all of a sudden I think of something. So I write it down. And a lot of times if we're slow, on our food truck, I'll start looking around to see the ingredients that I have and maybe making something different. And of course my daughters are always like that. I'm always eating in here because you're always giving me something to try. And I was like, well, yeah, I want to do something a little different.
Well, we're volunteering for that too, if you need, sir.
Just drop it off on the way to.
Or we'll come out there, you know.
if it slows down a little bit on the food truck, I'll start kind of thinking and going back to my notes of what I wrote before and then trying to see if I can make something different, you know.
That must be the fun of it. I mean,
yes, the creativity is
the creativity.
So much fun.
Yeah. Fifth place in the World Food Championships. Mike Hernandez is with us here from La Taqueria. And welcome back here. I want to remind you guys, voicesofmontana.com. did a show earlier this week. Big issues when it comes to overspending with the government. Chris Towner, podcast page. That's actually, there's a lot of ideas in there. Want to highlight this one as well. And that was Matt Vincent for the Montana Mining Association. You know, you talk about China, and they are now processing. They dominate processing, refining of critical minerals. And of course, we're in a bit of a trade war with them, although the president is on his way over there, and there's kind of a pre-agreement on some items. So that's good. It's been a hot and cold kind of thing. But how is America going to catch up? We are way, way behind. Matt Vincent will have some good information on that. Again, that's the podcast page, voicesofmontana.com. And we'll put this one up here, too, when we get around to it. It is Mike Hernandez, Miguel Hernandez with La Taqueria. Mike, it's so good to have you in studio and I thank you for your service as well. We'll get to that, too. But I teased up this sandwich, all right? And it's a creation. You know, I looked at it, saw some pictures. Thanks for that.
Right.
And I'm going to go get me one here. You have to let me know where you are. Where'd the idea come from? What is it? What's in it? And
so the idea, came from, I mean, just having it as a kid growing up, down in, Southern California in Tijuana. We would have it, for lunch. We would pack our own lunch for school. Or we would just have it, because you can actually have the milanesa as a meal, like a steak and with the side salad and all that stuff. That was one of my favorite meals. So that's where, when I found out that I was going to just go for this sandwich category, the first thing that popped up was milanesa torta. I was like, that's what I know. That's what I love. That's what I'm going to do. Hopefully it'll get me past the first round. And it ended up, you know, doing its job, I guess. So
what's milanesa?
So milanesa is pretty much like a Mexican style chicken fried steak. So it's a thin cut of steak, and all you would do is, you know, you have your dredging ingredients, which is the flour, the scrambled eggs, mixed eggs, and then the, like, I like to use panko for the coating. But in the panko, I put like 6 or 7 different ingredients, mm-hmm. anywhere from paprika, chili powder, cumin, stuff like that. So, and I mix it up real well. So it's kind of in the panko. So you just kind of go through the process, dip it, and then fry it up maybe a couple minutes on each side. And that's pretty much it. That's the milanesa part is done for that.
What kind of cut of meat is it? it's chicken fried steak. Is it? Do you have to? Do you marinate that meat at all?
No, not really.
No, okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, because once you cook it in the fryer, once it fries, it just cooks by itself. You can add a little bit of seasoning to the steak. It's pretty much your choice, but you know you can use pretty much anything, anything from top, bottom, round, or as long as it's a thin piece of steak, because that's what's going to cook in there. We make sure that it cooks when you're frying that thing.
I would think that's a huge part of getting this sandwich right is mm-hmm. making the texture of that meat.
Yeah, there's a balance between getting it, having a crunch to it, and making sure that the meat is cooked, not too raw, medium rare, you know, it's kind of in between. So I usually, what I, especially when I was there, I took that first piece and I kind of cut it. It was just going to be a, just to make sure. Because from what I've heard in that competition, a lot of these chefs, a lot of these people, because they're so in tune to what they're doing, they forget to taste it as they go. You know, just
that's not my issue.
A quick, yeah. So a quick taste. So, I, you know, once I did the first one, I cut it open. I make sure that the crunch was there. I made sure that the meat was well cooked or how it's supposed to be. And then from there, we went on to assembling it.
What do you serve it with? What's the assemblage?
So the assembly on this time, so there's two types of bread, Mexican bread, birote or bolillo, and then talera. The talera I ended up using because it was more of a round, flatter bread, where the bolillo is more of a, it's a little bit rounder bread, elongated. So the talera is almost kind of like a burger shape. So I use that, and you just butter it up. Put it on the griddle, let it toast a little bit, put the lime base. I like to use the mayo with a little bit of the lime
Oh yeah,
infused
yeah.
in it. And then you put your Milanesa on there, and then you have fresh avocado slices, tomatoes, lettuce. I put some pickled onions, pickled jalapenos. What else? I think that was it. And then avocado.
What was the special? What was the secret ingredient? The mystery ingredient
on the final round.
On the final round, yeah.
The final round. So you have a sponsored ingredient you have to use on your sandwich. The sponsored ingredient was pesto, called Besto Pesto.
Oh yeah.
So
not exactly your cultural mix. No.
No. Yeah. I looked at it. I was like, how can I? What can I do with this? And what we decided was to get pickled jalapenos and Mexican crema, put it into a container, and then I added a few spoonfuls of the pesto, which is basil based, the profile, and then I blended it together and made like a pesto crema, spicy. So
did it turn out? Sounds like it turned out then.
You know, I took a little taste of it. I was like, I don't know. And then I had my daughter, of course. Hey, you tell me what you think. And she was like, that's good. I'm like, okay, we'll go with it. We'll go with it.
Thank you.
So
next thing.
Yep. And then, of course, the second ingredient was a mystery ingredient. You don't know until they release you to start cooking because it was under a cover in a table. So that.
By the way, that makes the show fun.
Yeah,
too, you know, it
for everybody watching, not for me.
No, not for you. Yeah, see you sweat it out. Yeah, we love that. Yeah,
I'm like, please let this be something easy. And so when they opened up the little curtain or whatever, they showed us it was just sweet peppers, and I was like, thank God,
just what
I
you
am
needed.
So glad because that is a simple one to use. So I just sliced them up with some onions, and what I did is I used the oil from cooking the al pastor. Because this is the second round, so I did another torta, a different style, the al pastor, and I put it in there and just marinated and put it on top of the sandwich and with the pesto crema, and yeah, pretty much that was it. So that's how I used both of them.
How long? You came from Southern California, as you mentioned too,
right?
And so you've got history. We were kind of laughing, you know, that your mom was reminding you to do this and do that, that's cheating almost, right? Yeah,
yeah. I mean, I would say cheating if I was at the competition, but this was on the way there.
Yeah, yeah.
She was like, "Hey, now
I'm
you know."
Teasing you, yeah.
I get a call from her, and it's like, of course, like I love seeing when my phone says mom.
Yeah.
You know, because you got to cherish that. You won't always get it. And so on the way there, I picked up and she's like, hey, I was thinking, just make sure you add this. You don't do this. You let it sit there and you do this. Like, okay, mom. Yep. Got it. Yep. You told me this three times before I left.
Yeah. That's great. So, she was just thinking about her boy, you know?
Like I said, this is the recipes that I gotten from her and my aunt. So she knows how to do this. Everything that I make on the food truck is recipes that I grew up with from her that I learned from her. So.
Yeah. Well, and then you probably made some adjustments as well.
Yes.
You know, I mean, how long for this sandwich? Is it the final version of the sandwich now or is it still evolving, so to speak?
It's the final version.
Yeah.
But eventually, like I like to do, I'm going to evolve it a little bit.
Yeah.
Maybe throw some bacon or some kind of Italian mixture in there with different cold cuts.
Yeah, yeah. So. Well, you got a license now. You know? Yeah. All the rest of us are amateurs. You're a professional.
I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm just the same guy that left 2 weeks ago.
Don't you love that? I mean, you can go off, you can leave your job, go off, international competition, all this media attention, and then over, back to Montana.
I missed it. I missed home. I was ready to come back and serve.
Yeah. He's the Montana Marine Chef Miguel Hernandez of La Taqueria. With us here today, fifth place in the World Food Championships in Indy, not that long ago, a couple of weeks ago, probably less than two full weeks here, and in studio today. Welcome back here. Appreciate you
guys
joining us from Montana, for Montana, it's Voices of Montana. Yes, Mike, I'm enjoying chatting, just, of course, getting kind of away from the issues and talk about some people things here, you know? And so I've appreciated, anytime you can bring mom into a conversation, that's pretty good. You talk about your daughter, Elizabeth, and of course, then we got food. So yeah, we're having a good show. more, a little bit more on what it takes to be a chef and a business owner. And then I'm gonna talk about your service a little bit as well, because you know, we cover the issue of challenges for our veterans, and you served in conflict as right. well, and come back and have success, you know, right. and people are going to ask, Mike, how did you get there? Right. I want to get to that, but let's go to why Mike is a chef and that whole story.
Been wanting to do something like this with a food truck and cooking. I like cooking. I do it at home. Even before I had a food truck. And I just wanted to, have the traditional street food that I had grown up brought out here. Cause when I first moved out here, we couldn't find any street food, you know, Mexican street food or anything like that. But, I ended up wanting to get a food truck, and I ended up getting a food truck and just leaped into it. And you know, I was like, if it doesn't work, it doesn't work, and I can go back and do something else. But so far it's been really good. And, you know, just having the recipes from, like I said, from mom and my aunt, growing up, I don't consider myself a chef.
Right.
I'm just, somebody that wants to share the food and the culture, to everybody that wants to come out and try us. But it's still weird when people call you a chef. Hey, chef. I'm like, I'm not a chef. I'm just, I like to cook.
Yeah, but I appreciate that. You know, that humility. But what is a chef? It's someone who knows what they're doing in the kitchen.
Technically, I guess, yeah, you know, yeah. Without having the culinary diploma, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. The food itself is one thing, but you know, the business side of it as well, that attacks your mind, you yeah. know, when you're in the kitchen and what you want to do is cook and you're enjoying that, and all of a sudden books pop into your head, you know, yeah. it's crazy, right?
How do you
run a successful business?
That part of it is an ongoing learning process. Mm-hmm. Cause everything changes. The prices changes, everything. You can have an item that's worth this much 1 week, the next week it just doubles, and you're like, wow. So I've tried to maintain the whole time since I started the food truck is having a buffer zone where if the prices rise, I can still keep my prices at a certain level. It's only when it's just way, way ridiculous that they go up.
And not going back down.
Yeah. And so far I've been able to maintain that price right there. I'd rather take a little bit of a hit than having it, because if prices are rising for me, they're rising for everybody else. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of nice to be able to offer an affordable meal out, not necessarily a restaurant, but a food truck where you can just go out and get something to eat with. It's not going to cost so much money.
You can find the schedule on the Facebook page, by the way, too. And I should hit that a little bit. La Taqueria
MT. Yep, on Facebook. And we usually like to post our schedule, like locations, times, like Mondays. By Mondays, we will post that. And then our different menus, because we usually have two different menus that we offer. One is the asada with the al pastor, and the other one is the birria menu, which we'll probably end up doing more often with this cold weather now starting.
I'm going to ask about your service. Mm-hmm. Tell us, Somalia, you went over to the Middle East as well.
Yeah.
And coming back from that, got busy, you know, with the truck. talk about your service, Mike, and then how colleagues that you know and friends that we have had maybe suffer through some withdrawal from that. And now you're giving a little more voice to that aspect, right?
Yeah, and without even knowing what going through that process, but it was going to help immensely with my mental health kind of thing. So I joined right out of high school, graduated, went to boot camp, ended up in Kuwait during Desert Storm for about a year out there, and then came back. And got redeployed to Somalia for Operation Restore Hope. You know, it was a humanitarian mission. It was a good feeling, but the warlords around there didn't like us being there. So there was a lot of
It was pretty ugly, actually.
Yeah, it was. It was pretty bad. I mean, some people that have never heard of it, I usually tell them, you know, if you ever seen that movie Black Hawk Down, that's what the environment was out there. So came back from that, and I got out of the military. I did my 4 years, just did different jobs until I moved out here. Then worked for the mine for 15 years. Then got the food truck. Started cooking, started doing all these and catering, and then I realized that it was keeping me busy. It was keeping my mind occupied. It forced me to think about the future events, future services, and never really thought about stuff before being diagnosed with PTSD. It actually helped my mental health. And I'm like, you know, this is a cool thing to be able to do this and not, you know, sink into a dark hole when it comes to that, you know, the past.
You get drawn into it. You just, the hole will suck you in.
Yeah.
You know,
Yeah. And a lot of people don't, like for me, like I said, I'm low key. I just behind the scenes and don't know that part of it because I don't talk about it. But if I can, you know, going through this, if I can help guide some of these guys that are interested in doing, you know, veterans with PTSD, interested in cooking, I'm like, you know, I'm there to help them and guide them, and maybe it'll be the same for them that it was for me, where I'm just kind of looking for tomorrow's, you know, and just keep going instead of going into the dark memories that you have.
Yeah. And that's an experience I think that people value, right? Mm-hmm. I know I have, other people's experience through that and how they fight through that.
Right.
So you know, thanks for sharing that here. There's probably opportunities to share that going forward as well, like you said, and yeah. Looking forward to that. Yeah.
This is brand new, you know, it's just something that I just kind of, it just popped into my head. It's like, hey, I haven't thought about this or I haven't had any issues since I started doing this. And I was like, this might be a some kind of vehicle to help others with. And maybe if I get the opportunity, I can, you know, kind of be an advocate for that, I guess.
Yeah. And I think, you know, cooking is one of those activities. You know, there's a lot of groups out there that will take people to the outdoors, right? And that gets their mind off things.
Yes.
You know, I think in the kitchen for some people is probably a very similar experience.
Yeah, I think, you know, having cooking in the kitchen is just kind of peaceful and it's kind of serene and you're creating something. You know, that's one thought that I had when I was doing this. I'm creating something instead of destroying something, you know, and it's just therapeutic, I think.
What's next? I mean, how did you get local there were local competitions, right?
Right.
Yeah. And so that's an interesting story because your ticket was, opportunistic.
Right. Yes. So there's various, competitions here in Billings that I'd, you know, been involved with and entered. A lot of them are through, Sean O'Daniel with State Farm. He has a lot of nonprofits. He's doing the Scaredy Haunted House now.
Oh, yeah.
So he's got a lot of nonprofit competitions for burgers, pizza, wings, tacos, like the tacos and tequila and all that stuff.
How'd I miss that one?
That was a good one.
Right up my alley.
That was a good one. This last one was the best of the best. So it had every single category that he's done for the last few years all in one. And in that competition, there was a golden ticket for the sandwich competition in Indianapolis. So Stacked in Montana Grill actually won first place and got the ticket. So Steven couldn't do it, wasn't able to go and participate. So I got a call and say, hey, you guys want to take the ticket? And, you know, since they're not able to, I'm like, yeah, we'll take it. I mean, out of the comfort zone. I had to think about it for a day or two, but yeah. I was like, yeah, let's do it. Once, why not? You know, let's take that leap and kind of showcase what we got. So that's it.
And you're going to be invited back to the competition next year.
From what I hear, the top five get automatically invited back. So yeah, I really want to go back. This time I'll know the resources around there, what I'm doing and what they want to see. So a little bit more of a informed trip.
You know, and one thing we didn't talk about, let's do it now. We got a couple of minutes. Your approach was that Montana approach, you know, keeping it simple. I don't have to overname things. There were, as you said, that competition, there were sauces there that people couldn't spell or pronounce.
I couldn't.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Did the judges appreciate kind of that down-home?
I want to say yes. Or else I don't think I would have placed in the top five. For the not simplicity, but traditional dish.
Yeah, gotcha.
Because, you know, standing in the final round, you only have, once you present your plate, you stay up there, and then you're like looking at the live panel of judges. So you got to tell them what you did, how you did it, how you used your mystery ingredients, and, you know, that kind of stuff. And to hear these teams, these chefs going out there and saying fancy sauces. And I was like, again, looking around saying, what am I doing here?
This is
like,
only found in Iceland, by the way. Yeah.
Really. Yeah. I mean, seriously. Yeah. And then my turn comes up and I'm like, hey, this is just a al pastor torta. It's bread, cheese, and pork, avocado.
It's like, and like Cody said, you can make that at home.
Yeah. Pretty much the only fancy thing I told them was the pesto and how I use the crema and all that. So I threw the name of crema because it sounds foreign. So that was it. He was like,
see, you had some chops too.
I was like, yeah. I have to say it with an accent or something. So I guess, like.
That's very cool. But that's competition too, you know. Yeah. Judges are going to be individualized and they're going to respond to different things. So really great learning experience. Mike, I appreciated our conversation. It's been fun to chat with you and kind of get away from some of the big things and talk about family and talk about, you know, real life and things that we are living on a daily basis. So this sandwich now, you're going to have to feature it on your menu, right?
That's
Cody. Cody's been looking at the schedule already, and he's putting it automatically in his calendar.
I've started following you on Facebook.
Yeah. So where's it going to be, Cody? Go ahead.
Tomorrow night, he's going to be in Laurel, and that's what we need to know where. I know Laurel's not a tiny town. It's not a big town.
Where?
I think we're going to set up at the old Tiffany's coffee kiosk. Usually where we set up all the time, right in the corner of Main Street and First Avenue.
Well, we can find
it. And you're going to be serving the famous, I'm going to call it the showstopper. I'll come up and we'll order the showstopper. Indianapolis. Yeah.
Yep, we'll be offering the tortas. I think I'm going to do both of them, the milanesa and the al pastor that we use in the final round.
Have you had any catering calls?
A couple of them.
I'm sure.
Yeah, we've been pretty busy with catering since the first year when people found out that we catered, and we've done a ton of weddings. We love doing those things. It's pretty cool to be invited to somebody's special day, you know, that they're going to remember forever kind of thing. And for us to be invited to participate is awesome.
Well, there's no better way to get involved in people's lives on a human level than to cook for them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mike, thank you. Congratulations on this, too.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for your service as well.
And thank you. Thanks so much.
Look forward to pushing you into an area where I think you can help. You know?
Yeah.
And I know you're willing.
That would be awesome. Like I said, this is something new, so I think I want to do it.
Awesome. Well, I will probably see you tomorrow night, okay?
Okay.
Yeah, we're definitely, and I know Cody will,
stopper,
too.
Showstopper.
Yeah. That's La Taqueria. Thanks for joining us for the podcast, and join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.